Welcome to NPD Soundbites from ANPD, the Association for Nursing Professional Development.
This is the NPD Forecast. Your hosts, Jen Bodine and Jillian Russell, are nursing professional development specialists with years of dynamic NPD experience. Jen and Jill round out ANPD's Nursing Professional Development Practice Team and are your personal environmental scanning forecasters. This podcast series features topics that are relevant to the forecasting of future trends for NPD practice and discusses implications that you can apply to your daily practice.
ANPD is on a mission to advance the specialty practice of nursing professional development. And these days, we're finding innovative ways to deliver valuable education and opportunities to connect. This August, log on and join NPD team members from across the country for Aspire to Inclusivity, the online ANPD annual convention. Taking place August 3rd through 6th on a robust online event platform, this year's convention program delivers 4 days of premier education and the opportunity to earn more nursing continuing professional development contact hours than ever before. Connect with attendees and exhibitors live and access both live streaming sessions and recordings you can view at your own convenience. This flexible online event allows your entire NPD team to enjoy the benefits of continuing professional development. Register now to join the ANPD community at Aspire to Inclusivity. Early registration rates end July 2nd. Learn more at www.anpd.org/convention.
Welcome everyone to the NPD Forecast. I'm Jillian Russell.
And I'm Jen Bodine. Joining us today to speak about advocating for the NPD specialty is Dale Calicut, a director on the ANPD's Board of Directors. Nursing is Dale's second career. He obtained his BSN from Winston-Salem State University in 1995. He worked in coronary critical care until 2000 and became a nurse educator in 2000 and served in cardiac within Novant Health. He worked as a manager of a pulmonary nursing unit from 2011 to 2013, and then he got back into nursing education and served as the manager of the nursing education department in 2013, and that's where he's been ever since. He also served as a clinical adjunct faculty instructor for the University of North Carolina at Greensboro since 2008. He's currently serving his second term on the ANPD Board of Directors. He's been a member of ANPD since 2013, and prior to that, he had some membership with NNSDO. Welcome, Dale. We're very, very excited to have you on this podcast with us.
Glad to be here.
So, Dale, we'd like to start out kind of laying the foundation as to what does it mean to be an advocate for the NPD specialty? And as we know, nursing professional development is defined as a specialized nursing practice that facilitates the professional role development and growth of nurses and other healthcare personnel along the continuum from novice to expert. Now, that's pulled directly from our scope and standards of practice. The advocate for NPD specialty is an NPD practitioner who actively supports, promotes, and demonstrates nursing professional development as a nursing practice specialty. Standard 16 in the NPD scope and standards outlines competencies that incorporate describing NPD as a specialty and developing strategies to actively promote the role of NPD. So we'd like to explore this role further and take a look at some of those competencies within Standard 16 and discuss strategies for demonstrating these competencies. Dale, would you tell us a little bit about how you promote NPD as a nursing specialty?
I'm not sure that we have enough time on this podcast to hit every nook and cranny, but I will do my best. One of the things that I think that we have to do as NPD practitioners, we have to model the behavior in order to get people to understand what we're doing and to get other people excited about doing what we do. And so, you know, I promote displaying and demonstrating and exemplifying as part of my role, because I don't expect myself to not do something that I would not ask someone else to do. So in order for them to do it, I've got to be comfortable in doing it myself. Now, I might not be knowledgeable in all facets, i.e. peds and women's services and stuff like that with nursing. I might not have the background or the knowledge that some of my colleagues do, but I take what knowledge I have and I try to apply it to the practice and the leadership that I present to my department. So i.e. with my subordinates and stuff that work with me and my colleagues across the state or my colleagues even here at Milan Health, I exemplify by leading by example, and I encourage others to do that as well. Nothing is considered too difficult. Nothing is considered too strenuous. Nothing is considered too hard because we're in this together. I believe that we all have to strive for excellence. In order to strive for excellence, then we have to demonstrate. I know, like you said earlier, you know, we model our behaviors from that novice to expert phraseology, and we try to all get to expertise, but we all cannot always be experts at everything. Some of us just get at the competency level or the competent level, and some might just be great at the proficient level. But we all need to try to strive to be experts in what we do. But however, that's not achievable in all things. We have to model being as best as we can to exemplify our status to others. So I'm teaching a course. I need to be able to know about that course, but to be able to demonstrate, whether it's from a practice perspective or from, you know, from a teaching perspective. I don't need to go in there blindly and teach a woman how to deliver a baby when I have no experience doing that. So I can tell you about cardiac anatomy. I can tell you about cardiac rhythms, and I can tell you stuff that I'm familiar with and I consider myself to be a little proficient or expert at. And I believe in exemplifying my team or promoting my team in doing the same thing. So one of the things that we do within our organization, and I do talk this up, I talked with a colleague from Texas just last Friday about this, is certification. You know, in order to be the experts, we have to take that next step. And one of the levels is certifications, and another area in a few minutes will be about education and graduate work and stuff that I'll talk about. But certifications is important here because we believe we do promote the MPD certification through ANCC. However, one of the things that we promote in our department first is that you have to be specialized in your area. In order to be an MPD practitioner, you've got to have that specialty certification. We like for everyone to have two certifications, MPD being that secondary one, and we promote it and we encourage people to take it and we participate in any programs that offer that certification. But we believe that we have to have that specialty certification. So whether I'm critical care, whether I'm emergency nursing, whether I'm a pediatric nurse, well, you have to have that certification in order to demonstrate or exemplify the MPD practitioner. If team members at my organization that I work for are looking at me, they need to expect that there's an expert or someone that's knowledgeable about that topic being presented. So I need to be able to talk the talk and walk the walk. And so that's why we promote certification. So i.e., when I got my first certification, people looked at me as like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? I said, because it's out there and I want to professionally grow. And I was the first one in my organization to get certified through the ANCC for the cardiovascular nursing. I was excited. I was ecstatic. And that little bubble with one person, I remember, caused a second person to do it. And then that second person, we got two more people, and we just continue with that trend. And when I was a manager, I promoted it as well. And I encourage people with that growth and development. Even though I might have been a manager, I was an educator at heart. So I would do review courses in the evening for my staff. I would do things to help them, to promote them. And I remember taking one unit that had like 20% certified nurses and reversing it to about 90% certified. So that's one way that we do promote the MPD profession or what we do as practitioners. We believe in that growth, elevating ourselves so that we look like we're on that pinnacle because we have that knowledge. That's a commitment piece. Another piece of this, though, is advancing education. And I think, you know, one of the things that we have to be knowledgeable about or really display is that commitment level. Just because I have an associate degree doesn't mean I'm a nurse. Just because I have a diploma doesn't mean I'm a nurse. Just because I have a baccalaureate doesn't mean I'm a nurse. You have to take it to the next level. And I'm not here to say everybody get back in school, enroll, take the next level or whatever. People know who want to go back to school. Some people want to, some people don't. And we all have those roads that we have to take. And when we're on the highway, we might go off this exit to get food, and we might just continue to go on. And with graduate education, I believe that's important because it allows you to dive a little bit deeper into your specialty, into your field, whatever you want to do, whether it's a specialty such as emergency, whether it's education, whatever it may be, you're able to do that and you're taking it to the next level. And I believe that that is so important as we exemplify this behavior. As MPD practitioners, I think we're all lifelong learners. So whatever we can do to grow ourselves, whatever we can do to improve ourselves, we have to continue to do. And at Novant Health, I continually strive for that every day. And so that's what my department does.
Dale, I really appreciate your comments about role modeling and walking the walk and talking the talk, and hearing how you really have a mission to do that on a daily basis in the work that you do, supporting NPD practitioners and staff all across your organization. You really are expertly facilitating the professional role development and growth of nurses and other healthcare personnel, as defined by our scope and standards. And some of the expert practice that you spoke to being demonstrated through certification, that's actually a great segue to my next question. Can you give our listeners an idea of how they can model expert practice to their peers, interprofessional team members, healthcare consumers, learners? How can they model expert practice?
Well, one thing is sometimes you have to take a deep dive. And, you know, one thing that when we did certifications, everybody would say, well, it costs, it's time, it's this, it's that. I heard every excuse possible. And I would just sit there and let people just throw darts at me. I remember as we were trying to get people more certified. And one thing is you can find an excuse for anything. You can find an excuse for not getting out of bed in the mornings to going to work, from not going to bed at night because you want to get a good night's sleep. With certifications, I think it's important because if you model it, if you get it, you see the interest in it. How do you get that bubbled over? How do you get the other people to feel, you know what, this is worthy of the cause? And so one of the things that I learned about when I headed this particular branch in our department is how can we make it easier for the person to become certified? How can we make it easier to get this person back to school? And, you know, I'm not saying that we say, hey, just take the next 6 weeks off and you just go study, do this and you're okay. I wish I could do that. But we found ways, we found funds, we found sponsorships, we found different things that could help people grow and mature or whatever it may be to become certified. Same with other avenues at the hospital. You know, for years, I remember as I'd go back to school, the hospital would pay a certain amount of money for me to go back to school in order to pursue further education. Well, it got to a point, it's like, you know what? Every year inflation occurs. There's cost of living increases and stuff like that. But we kept on staying here. And it was like at this level, but really it was going down because it wasn't going as we got cost of living percentages changes. You know, we were able to advocate for that to help people to go back to school. If we learn about scholarships, we promote within our organization scholarships to help people to go back. We look at those things that, you know, how can I help someone in order to achieve what it may be? And one of the things that I tell a lot of people and when it comes to certification is, you know what, you can kill yourself all you want to. You can say you're a worst test taker or whatever. Honestly, I miss the first question on every test that I take. And I think I might do it now intentionally because it just sets me up. I'm not going to get the perfect score. We all want to be perfect, but we can't be. But one thing that I do tell people is that, you know what, you can go in there. You can be whoever you want to be. Just read the question and answer the question. You know what, when you walk out, you're the same person. It doesn't matter if you passed or you failed. It's a great feeling if you pass. It's a terrible feeling if you fail, but it doesn't change who you are and what you can advocate for. And a lot of people take it to heart. Some people like look at me like you're crazy, but it's the truth. I mean, you know what? You get a second opportunity. You get a third opportunity. You get these opportunities to achieve what you want to achieve.
Dale, I love that you said that because I facilitate the CERT prep course and not everybody passes that and they get very upset. And sometimes they'll call me and they're upset. And I tell them, I say, that test does not define you as an NPD practitioner. It doesn't say how you are when you go to work, how you treat your staff and your coworkers. It's a test that sometimes you're just not a good test taker. And I tell them, as you're right, you can take it as many times as you want. Just fail forward, learn something from each test and keep trying. And I think that's the really important part. So I'm glad that you really emphasize that with everyone, because I think that's important to know. I think we take these tests, they do add and they do say that we're a subject matter expert, but it doesn't show the whole person. So I'm really glad that you mentioned that. That's a really important point to make.
And, you know, educators are, NPD practitioners are educators. We tend to be a little analytical and we look at the data. And I had an educator come to me and said, did you know this blank specialty has a passing rate of 67%? They're the lowest of all the specialties. I said, if you have taken all that time that you did in researching that, just think about what knowledge you could have gained instead of knowing that. Now you've got this mental block up here. There's 2/3 chance that you're going to pass, and there's 1/3 chance that you're not. And I'm like, you got to filter your channel. You got to filter it a different way. You can't look at what other people have done, and you can't judge yourself. Well, I want to be like them. I want to have the 15 acronyms behind my name. You know what? It's not going to change who you are. Your work, your practice, your knowledge, your skills, that's who defines you. Just because you have something ABC beside your name doesn't necessarily say who you are. I mean, it's great to have it, but you're still the same person.
That's great. And, you know, it's not a contest, right? Those with right. the letters win. I mean, you're just going to need a bigger gravestone after you're gone to put those right. letters on anyway. So what does it really even matter? I love that you said that. And I want to talk a little bit about something that typically intimidates NPD practitioners, and that is publication and presentations. And I know even to this day, you know, I am an editor for the preceptorship column for JNPD. I get nervous every time I write an article for it because I'm like, is this even something anybody wants to read? And then every time I do a presentation, even though I do them professionally all the time, I get nervous and butterflies. And about 5 minutes beforehand, I was just doing this with Jillian yesterday when we did our webinar. I was like, I don't want to do this. You do it all by yourself. You'll be fine. I don't want to do it. It's just that feeling that you get. But it's so important. It's such an important part of our specialty. So can you give some examples of how NPD practitioners can advance the specialty through publication and presentations?
I'd be more than happy to. You know, we immediately, when we think of publication, we think of writing. And if you were to survey, I would say the people that's listening today or even in our organization, what's their favorite skill? Or what do they like to do as an educator or practitioner or whatever it may be? I can guarantee you, and I'm not a betting man, but I can put a lot of money down and make a lot of money that writing is not one of them. We don't like to write. Some people are great. They're fluent at it and they can do it. But I would say a good majority of us do not like to write. And so it's not the most desired skill that we have, even though it's something that we do have because we chart, we do document, we do a lot of things that we don't realize contributes to our writing expertise. So, you know, one thing at our organization, when I get a new educator that comes on board, oh, I want to publish, I want to do this. And then when the opportunity presents itself, I never see such a retraction to go backwards because they find those excuses like they do with certification as to why they came. And, you know, it was, I want to say it's 10, 15 years ago, you know, I've published before. And one thing that I learned, and I've not published that much, but I've published a couple things, I've learned that there are people that like to edit. And there, and if you find those types of people, you can write anything you want to. You know, they will give you the feedback, and it might be harsh and it might be great. But in our department, we do have some people that like to put things out there. And we have people in our department that love to give that, I don't want to call criticism, but they give that constructive feedback that helps people. So when it comes to writing, we all have a lot of avenues that we can take. And one of the avenues that I encourage people to do first is, do you write for your organization? And a lot of people forget, you know, it's great to publish something. It's great to have something out there. But sometimes you have to have these little small stepping stones to get to. So in our department, we have newsletters that we send out. We have organization newsletters that we send out. And we have massive amounts of people within our areas that are contributing to those articles and stuff like that. So we get people started on this elementary level, and then we try to elevate people. And we encourage people, look at your professional organization. What are they asking for? You know, there are some people that's out there seeking, well, they're looking for this topic or they're looking for that topic. Know what your organization is doing. What's the focus for this year? What's their convention about? Because I imagine that they're looking for not only presentations from a stand live or a virtual platform, but they might be looking for articles as well. So you can look at that. But you can look at your specialty organizations to see what they have. I know the AACN has the American Journal of Care Nurse. Emergency Nursing has the Journal of Emergency Nursing. And then, of course, you know, our profession, AMPD, we have a couple. We have Trendlines, and then we have a JMPD that I actually sometimes submit stuff for. So, but we have a couple of sources that we can do. You just have to look to see if they have a call or something that they're asking for articles for, or you send an inquiry letter to say, hey, are you interested? What's the worst that they could say? Sorry, we don't need your topic, or no, we're not interested. So what? You know what? It's okay. But then there's other places you can look that's outside your specialty, whether it's AJN, Nursing 2021, or whatever it may be. There's always opportunities, and there's even online journals that people can do. If you're real serious about publishing, there are so many opportunities out there, whether you write a paragraph for somebody or you're writing a full research article. There are many opportunities out there. It's just a matter of you digging in a little bit and how serious are you about achieving it.
Yeah. Dale, I want to ask you as a follow-up to that, because I agree with you. Like, you just, Trendlines is a great place to start because it's a little more informal than JMPD. And Jillian and I give tons of support to the authors who submit to us as far as editing and giving them feedback. And I do the same thing with my column in JMPD. I actually will tell people, write your story down and I will help you get it where it needs to be published. So that kind of leads me to my next question. Why is it so important that we do publish and that we do presentations as MPD practitioners? Why is it so important that we do these things for our specialty?
Well, there's a couple reasons that stick out in my mind to start off with. First of all, it shows where we're at in the profession. And what I mean by profession, where nursing stands, i.e., we see about medical journals, we hear about pharmacy and updates with medications, we hear all these other things, but it's important that nurses have their voices out there as well. So that's one of the real reasons we should be out there. But others need to know what's going on too. There's a lot of times when I read something or somebody reads something and then they share it with me, this is what's going on in this institution, or this is what's going on in the world or whatever. So you learn from other people. So it's important that you share your ideas. And there's been numerous times that I've been able to share things, might not be in a publication or whatever, but that is one avenue that we can get from one another that we can learn from, maybe even do a process improvement or a change within our institution and make a difference in lives, whether it's for our team or whether it's for our customers that we're serving. But we can make a difference. But it is so important that that we stand up for nursing and get nursing out there so that other people know this is what they're doing. How remarkable is that?
Dale, I think that ties in nicely with the opportunity to truly demonstrate and articulate the value that NPD specifically brings to the table. And what a, you know, what a wonderful way to do that through publication. And I just want to reiterate too to our listeners that if you personally feel like there's an intimidation factor there, step beyond that, step outside of that comfort zone and dip your toe in the water. Start, like Dale had recommended, within your own organization. As he also mentioned, we have trend lines, which is a great opportunity for members to share their story. And really the ideas that our members get from one another, that's the true inspiration to have an impact within your organization. But then if you can turn that and really articulate the value and pull, you know, what type of ROI, what type of impact are you having because of the work that you're doing? That's something that is so worthy of being shared and articulated across so many different platforms. So definitely as NPD practitioners, we don't have a lack of opportunity to share our stories. It's just a matter of finding the right fit for you personally, depending on where you're at in your professional journey. And I would be remiss if I did not mention that when this podcast is launched, that our call for abstracts for our 2022 annual convention, Aspire to Trailblaze, will be open. So our call for abstracts opens July 1st, and the call for abstracts will close towards the end of August. So be sure to visit the ANPD website for specific details. Now, Dale, shifting gears just a bit, tell us a little about how you personally promote that value of NPD practice for healthcare, both within your organization, maybe locally as well, and nationally, given your role on the board of directors?
Well, I can tell you that within my organization, I'm associated with AMPD. If you see me, you see AMPD. So there's a lot of people that will ask me, and they'll ask me, hey, do you know if AMPD has this? Or do they have something on pre-something? Or do they have whatever topic? And so I promote it within our organization, not everybody in the my department. We have 50 plus educators throughout the state, and not all of them are members of AMPD. I would say probably maybe a fourth. And not that I don't promote it, not that I don't encourage it or whatever, but some people do their specialties or do their other things. But whenever there's something that I think is very valuable from AMPD, I share it with the team. So whether it might be a communication, an article that I read in Trendlines, whether it's something else that I picked up that AMPD has sent to me, I try to share it so that credit is given where credit's due, but I want them to be knowledgeable. I don't want them to feel left outside the circle, because we are about promoting and professionally growing. And when we grow, others grow with us. So if I'm trying to take the bus and I'm on the bus by myself, my team's left behind, that's not doing me any good. So I've got to be able to grow with them. So at my organization, I do promote it. We try to get people involved with AMPD. And I know that several of them have taken NPD certification. So I'm excited about that. I've had some people talk to me about the Leadership Academy that y'all do with AMPD. And, you know, that first year that we did that, I was a mentee. And I remember my preceptor, Lindsay Cardwell, she said, you should actually be my mentor instead of me being your mentor. But we learned so much and we stay in contact like that. But you know what? She provided me with insight and things that I learned that I didn't know or that I could use from an outside perspective. And from what she taught me in that first Leadership Academy, I was able to roll over to my second and my third academies because I mentored other people, and I'm still in great contact with my last person that I mentored. And that's who I talked to actually on Friday, Teresa. She me and her stay in contact. So, and she promotes AMPD there, just like I'm promoting it within my organization. We talk about different things. And so that's one way. I will tell you though, references I use from AMPD, that's the first place I go to see if we have anything, whether it's in our educational resources or whatever, when I'm looking up something. I know with the Leadership Academy books that I received, I went and redid our whole needs assessment and things like that based upon information that I read. So in our organization, people will know that if I'm doing something, they're looking to see where I pulled my information from so that they know that AMPD is the first place that I'm going to. Now, I will look other places, but that's where I'm gathering my knowledge from or whatever. And I do share that, whether you're AMPD or non-AMPD, but we don't copy anything, but we look at the resources so that we can utilize them to our advantage or the materials. Now, I will tell you that I do send out emails, cool emails, whenever, and I say cool because of the fact that AMPD does these things that I think is fabulous. Like, I think it was last year or the year before, the AMPD week, where we could send an email and congratulate somebody or thank them, and we do that on special occasions. My organization knows everybody in the department will get something. I don't care if you're a member or not a member, but they get it. And then some people outside of our department that are not nurses will get it as well. I think it's important and people realize that. So I'm doing what I can to advocate and to promote how I use AMPD. And I believe other people see that. And that's why when I was talking about the Leadership Academy, I've got a current colleague that's in the academy that's from our organization, and hopefully we'll be sending another person this next time or the time after. But we have several managers that's within our department that could benefit from this. So that's how I promote it within. Now, when we go to the local level, when I say locally, I'm talking about within the state. I'm not saying geographically my city, but I'm saying within the surrounding area. And we have an affiliate here. And thanks to Kathy Gage, about 2013, she started this. And it's been amazing. I've not always been able to participate in everything, but I was on the first email listings and I stayed in contact, went to a couple meetings. I remember having to drive to UNC Chapel Hill, which is about an hour and a half from where I'm at, to go to the first one of the first meetings, but it was okay. See how it went. And locally, we do virtual meetings now because COVID kind of dictated to everybody, let's all go virtual and let's just stay virtual for the rest of our lives, which we're not trying to do. We keep on trying to plan those events, but for some reason, a couple of weeks, we were supposed to have an event where we were going to be in a park and then we had a gas shortage, so we didn't want to travel. So, but we do try to meet from a local perspective. I usually will get in on some of the tag emails and answer questions or ask questions, but we have a great thread of people that, you know, we have a good group that help one another. If someone says, hey, this is what we're experiencing now, anyone else experiencing that, we're doing that. And through AMPD, I'm able to do that. I've done that nationally as well. I've done it here locally, but we have an affiliate here and I'm very proud to be a part of that affiliate as I work in AMPD or belong to AMPD. From a national perspective, you couldn't find a bigger advocate, I don't think. I mean, there's a lot of people out there, and I'm saying that I'm cream of the top. I'm not. I'm out there. I advocate with a lot of the other people that have. I've served on the board for 3 years now. I'm in my second term. I know that when y'all have events, and one of the things that comes to my mind is, I can't remember, I think both of y'all were on it. It was one of those virtual cafes. And I was just sitting at a table. I wasn't even supposed to be at the table and started having a conversation virtually with someone. I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to be at this table, but I'll finish this conversation. And I want to say it's about 15 minutes later. It's like, okay, where am I supposed to be at now? From a national perspective, I'll do whatever. And I remember talking with this lady and she needed some information, and just being who I was and having that information, I was able to take her information. I was able to put it in paper, communicate with her email, and she thanked me very much. And I was very glad that I was at the wrong place at the wrong time, even though I was supposed to be in the virtual world, just didn't know how to navigate, which I can be technically challenged. But that's one of the ways that I think from a national perspective, because we do encounter people from different places, and it's important that we advocate for our organization. But it's amazing when, whether I'm at a local event or in a national event and I'm talking, people know who I am, I guess, because of my bow tie or because Beaker's always with me or something when I'm presenting or something. But people do relate with me, and they know that I am a big advocate for this. And I will tell you from a perspective from AMPD, I know that it might be a question or something later on, but you know, I look at the people that helped me get where I'm at today. And I think of Weatherly, who was on the board, who was on the recognitions committee. I just watched her leadership style as part of the recognition committee. And I just thought, you know what, maybe one day I can do this. Never thought that I would be the liaison for the recognition committee for AMPD. I look at Kathy Gage. She did the affiliate. She served on the national board of directors. I never thought I'd be on replace somebody like that. But I'm able to serve in the same capacity. So if I can do it, I know anyone can do it. It's just, you have to have that determination and just be willing to help and answer questions as you can. So, but that's how I do it from a in-house, locally, and a national perspective. I believe that that's how I do it. So well, others might do it differently.
It sounds like you're doing it right, Dale. And I do need to make a couple comments because people who don't know Dale, I was a mentee in the Leadership Academy with Dale, and I facilitate the Leadership Academy, and he has been a mentor. And you want to talk about advocating the specialty and helping to push forward MPD practitioners and leadership. Dale is such a great role model at that. And I know that when I've spoken to people you've mentored, you've just been so supportive to them, and they've had such great things to say. But also on a personal level, I will say you do role model the specialty quite well in that you send kind emails about recognizing people's work. And I think that's another thing MPD that's important about us is to be encouraging, to be nurturing, and you do those things. And for our listeners, that I'm just letting you know, all the things Dale's saying, he is extremely sincere about. He does these things. I watch it every single day. So I just think it's incredible. And thank you for breaking that down for them, because it really does kind of give them a pathway of what they can do from, again, that very organizational level all the way up to a national level.
I will tell you, you make a good point. And, you know, everybody's got different ways to do leadership and stuff like that. But I learned very quickly that, you know, it's always good to have, you always hear about the bad and not so much as the good. So a personal motto that I try to do on a weekly basis, I try to send at least 5 cards, whether it's emails or a personal note. And I just wrote a personal note to 5 people outside, thanking them for something that they do, because it is important that we uplift others to make sure, because a lot of time we don't realize that our work is noticed. We think it is, but we really don't know it. When you get that personal touch, I think it's so important.
All right, Dale, I'm going to bring it back down to the organizational level now. So can you speak to the type of programs that recognize the role of the MPD practitioner within an organization?
Well, first of all, in our organization, I think everybody recognizes the MPD role, because our phones, our emails, even if you walk down the hall, hey, I've got an idea. And everybody wants our department to help with this initiative, with this rollout, with whatever may be coming. Our department is so important, but yet a lot of times, if you think about it, people like to slash the education budgets, but they never realize it. And, you know, it's amazing. But a couple of the things that our department does, and I think we do very well to advocate for the MPD role, is the Clinical Ladder Program. And then our residency program. And with our Clinical Ladder program, I will tell you, there's a lot of things that you can do to get points, to get this clinical ladder status, and it might be a little bit more income or recognition or award on a yearly basis. And that's great. But it's the components in there that it takes time and effort. And it's the things that we do on a day-to-day basis that other people can get a little bit more credit for. So an example, you know, we do annual validations. With our annual validations, our department might have 50 plus educators, but we're out throughout the state of North Carolina. So how do we get people to help us with this function? Because, you know, we can plan 26 out of the next 52 weeks to do annual validations. But in those 26 out of 52 weeks, I can tell you, the Joint Commission will be here. There'll be some type of survey. There'll be somebody that comes by, and then there'll be some massive blitz that we have to do a new education on. So it's imperative that we have our colleagues to help us with these types of things. So it's part of clinical ladders. If they volunteer their time or they help with education, they can help. They can get points for the clinical ladder, which will help in the long run with incentive pay or whatever it may be, i.e. with in-service education events that we have on the units. We have 13 facilities in our organization as of today, and that's getting ready to change as of tomorrow. We're going to lose a couple, but we gained some. So we're still around that 13 number, and we plan to, and we're not all centralized, and we're not all in one place. We're all over North Carolina, from the west side of North Carolina to the east side now. And so with that, in-service education, this is great. Hey, can you come by and explain documentation about skin? Or can you help us with the balloon pump? Or can you help us with some baby-friendly course or something that we have in question? Well, our educators might be already tied up. Their schedules might not allow them to be freed up. So we help people to provide those contacts or those educational opportunities. And we do support with continuing education credits or contact hours. But our department allows them to get credit for that in the clinical ladder program, i.e. if you volunteer, whether it's in the house or they kind of tweaking that a little bit now. But if you volunteer for nursing from outside, that's part of the clinical ladder program. And I'm going to give a punch right now. And anybody that's ever worked with me, precepted, mentored, or whatever, this is my punchline. Give back to what you've got. Okay. And what do I mean by that? For the last probably 20 years, I've given back into the communities for service time that I've done because nursing gave to me and I'm giving back. So I do volunteer work at least 2 weeks per year that I give back to the community. And I think it's important. And I don't give back just to give back. I give back and do something that's worthwhile. And usually it might be in the forms of diabetes education or something like that with kids, something that I'm not even familiar with. But I give back because I think it's so important. So in our clinical ladder program, if someone does something similar, whether it's to go help at a community clinic, whether it's to help with maybe a COVID clinic now, we try to give back. So that's part of the clinical ladder program that really we have representation on, but we're building that growth and development of those team members. Our residency program, we do have some managers in the MPD department. We call ourselves Center for Professional Practice and Development, CPPD, but it's all based upon MPD, just to let y'all know that. And in our residency program, my team, my MPD practitioners or my educators are very instrumental in that because we deliver the classes, the content, the courses and stuff like that. But one thing I think that we do that's really outstanding and shine is that we mentor and we start really early mentoring and advising these new members to our team on things, i.e. we help them with schedule, with organization, checking up with them, whether it's on a week or 2 week basis. We do things to help them and keep in communication with them during the rotation. And then in that second rotation or ever, how many rotations they do in that first year, we stay as a part of their growth and development because we don't want them out there floundering and not thinking someone doesn't care for them. We're trying to make a difference with them and with their growth and development. That's what we're trying to do. And by that, I can tell you over the years, people have become preceptors and people have come into our department because of just our exposure and being involved with the new hire orientation or whatever it may be. But with residency, we have an instrumental part, and that's one of the things that we do to promote MPD in our growth.
I want to ask you what you find most rewarding about being an advocate for the MPD specialty, but I also want to ask you, where do you see the future of the specialty going? Because especially, I think, in this last year, as we've been kind of navigating the importance of having your educational team, I'm just wondering what you think, if you can forecast a little as far as where you think the specialty is going from here.
Well, the first part of the question I will answer, and then I'll come back to the second. I will tell you, I'm proud to be a member of AMPD. And I say that from the bottom of my heart. It makes me just really want to tear up right now because it's so important to me. It's very rewarding to meet people like yourself and Jill, you know, and to communicate and to be able to know that there's someone out there that I can talk to if I needed to. I'm pretty sure if I sent you an email that I don't think neither one of y'all have never not responded back to me if I needed a question or something. And it's people like you that really make a difference. And I just want to say thank you for that. I will tell you the other rewarding part is being able to serve on the board of directors. You know, from meeting Mandy Walker from Louisville and writing articles with her for our manuscripts that we do every other month, it's been tremendous. Eye-opening experience for me to be able to work with her. I think about Debbie Buchwalt out in Seattle, the Washington area. She's given plenty of advice and leads by example. And I just love to hear her talk when she's on our board of directors meetings because she brings an insight and a perspective that sometimes it just makes you look through a different pair of glasses. And I like that. I look at Susan Bindon. She, wonderful person. I got to meet Susan a few years ago, and she was really inspiring to me, encouraging me to submit an article for a particular journal. And, you know, I worked and stuff like that. And I'll never forget my interaction with her. I remember I talked with her. I think I talked with Carrie beforehand, and then I talked with Susan. But it was just amazing. And Susan being our president now, it's just a privilege to be able to work with her on the board. I look at Sheila St. Cyr. Never met her before the board of directors. Wonderful lady. I just love listening to her, hearing about her family and stuff like that with our board meetings. Rachel just come on board, or Frida. She's out in the New Mexico area. She brings a different insight about budget that we've never had before on our board of directors. And let me tell you, I love to hear her talk about the money and asking those posing questions. And then, of course, we have Kathleen Opperman. Kathleen's going to ask a question, and it's just going to open the conversation, and I can't wait for it to explode. And it just, those types of things make it rewarding to me because it's not all about Dale. It's about hearing what other people, their thoughts, their thinking. And as a board member, I represent a constituency, and I want to make sure I represent them professionally and what they want. And, you know, if I feel like it's something that's not going right, I have people that email me because I think it's important that we have people that we can go to, that we have faith and we have trust in. And I believe I've established that with different people across the nation. And that's why I love serving with the board of directors and the AMPD. But I find it so fulfilling because I have opportunities to meet a lot of people that I would never had that opportunity to do if not being in the position that I am. I don't even have to be on this board. I think I could go to a conference and I could still meet people. And that's what it's all about. Or I could go to your virtual cafe and I think I could stir up a conversation. You won't believe this, but I'm very introverted. So when I leave my door, my office or whatever, people look at me like, you're a different person. You're right. I am. I'm usually to myself. I'm working in the yard or I'm going running or biking and I'm doing it individually. Because that's me, that's who I am. But if the moment presents itself, then I have to change. I got a feedback one time that says, you know what, you need to open up a little bit more. So I do that, but I don't want it to be where it's like a fake appearance. I want it to be as genuine and authentic as it can. So I've worked over it over the years, and I think that I've really overcome and got some extrovert characteristics in me now. But being on the board and serving in APD has been just a fabulous experience. Now, to your second part, where do I see us going in the future? COVID opened the eyes for a lot of people. And, you know, I think the one thing that we've learned, and I think it's going to be the trend for the next few years, is we have to be flexible in our roles. Of course, like I think it was Jill that said a while ago, that return on investment, we have to prove that return on investment. How do we do that? I have no idea. You know, I'm talking with someone right now about how do we develop a productivity tool for the nurse educator? Well, I can tell you, it's not all based on courses. It's not all based on rounding. It's not all based on in-services and all this stuff. There's so many components. And because MPD has a little cup in a big bucket, we have the education perspective, but we have our specialty perspectives too. And in order to meet that, we've got to be flexible in how we have overlap between those specialties as we move forward. That's going to be the key, integral part, the ingredient that we have to have. And I wish I could say, you know what, this is going to allow us to have more jobs in the future, or I can forecast that, you know what, I hate to say it, we're going to have less jobs in the future. I can't do that. But I can tell you one thing, that in the last 18 months, we've learned to adapt and we've learned to be flexible. And I'm not saying that nurses in the past have not been able to have those things, but that's trends. Those are traits that we're going to have to continue moving forward and just keep our eyes open.
That's fantastic. And I think you're right. It's hard to forecast, but I think we've definitely made our value known in the last 18 months because we have stepped up. And like you said, we've demonstrated that flexibility. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Dale, thank you so much for joining Jen and I today. And listeners, if you would like to engage in some more discussion about the topic of advocating for the NPD specialty, we encourage you to visit our discussion board available through our website, www.anpd.org. Navigate to the Tools and Resources tab, and then you can choose the discussion forum option and make sure you select the podcast topic, and you will find this episode listed there. As far as additional resources that were either mentioned throughout the course of our conversation, I just would like to call some of those out. NPD colleagues, if you do not have a copy of our Scope and Standards of Practice, we highly encourage you to add this to your own personal library. Specifically, Standard 16 was addressed today. Also, we talked a little bit about our academies. So our Evidence-Based Practice Academy is actually currently accepting applications for cohort participants through August 20th. And this cohort is due to start in October of 2021. Our Leadership Academy, those applications for the next cohort will open this fall of 2021. As far as disseminating your work and publication opportunities, again, I encourage you to submit an abstract for our 2022 Convention Aspire to Trailblaze. That call is currently open and closes August 22nd. Be sure to visit our website, www.ampd.org, and you can navigate to the Events tab and you'll find more information there. And also Trendlines, our member newsletter, is your core source of environmental scanning information, but also an opportunity for you to highlight how you exemplify throughputs in action. We want to hear from you. We want to hear about the wonderful work that you're doing, and we provide you this platform to share that with other members. If you have an idea for a topic or something that you would like to highlight, or maybe you're just curious if something would fit within Trendlines, I encourage you to email me directly at jrussell, that's J-R-U-S-S-E-L-L, at anpd.org. Remember, you can listen to our podcast series by subscribing to NPD Forecast on the ANPD website, on the podcast page, but also wherever you stream your favorite podcast through Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. Thank you so much for joining us today.
This NPD Forecast series analyzes information gathered through environmental scanning. Our goal at ANPD is to be your leading resource for NPD practice. If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star rating on your preferred podcast platform, as well as a review. And if you feel so inclined, share with your friends and colleagues on social media. Be sure to tag ANPD when you do. Those ratings and reviews help us grow this platform and extend our reach. As NPD practitioners, we know our strength is in our sense of community. So the more you share the NPD Forecast, the more valuable this environmental scanning resource will be. We would love to hear from you and encourage you to post podcast topic recommendations in the podcast discussion forum available on our website.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit our website at anpd.org.